This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. We are taking this Labor Day off from podcasting. So this week we're going to unlock a Patreon episode for you to enjoy. Just to catch you up on what's going on with our Patreon, it's pretty simple. Every week, Tanner and I jump into a warp hole and transport the meat sacks that contain our souls all the way back to 1990 so we can inhabit the essences of our pre-teenage selves and watch every single episode of ABC's TGIF sitcom lineup in order. Apart from the horrific emotional, physical, and psychic toll that the process of warp-holing takes on our bodies and minds, there's a lot of upside to the process because we both enjoy the classic triple threat of Full House, Family Matters, and Perfect Strangers. Unfortunately, TGIF consists of four shows, and the feeling of dread that accompanies the first notes of the Just the Ten of Us theme song is matched only by the nauseating disorientation caused by our reckless meddling with the time stream. Anyway, in this episode, we're talking about Just the Ten of Us, episode 39, Perfect Date. We hated it. I hope that makes sense. To support our show and to get a new Patreon episode each week, visit patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We love you and we kiss you, and we will be back next week with more Strange Bedfellows.
So, what's for dinner?
Acorn broth, wild mushrooms, and field mouse soup, if we're quick.
Yeah, well, good thing I brought a 12-pack and some pork rinds.
Look out, Friday night. Come down to the show, here we go. Full House, Family Smiles. It's just the two of us, but I want it my way. We'll be here all night. Could be, we'll be here for a year. Strangers to our lives. How did it come to this? Oh man, oh God, it's Friday.
Warp hole noise, big warp hole noise. Actually, that part was nice, but oh, yuck, mostly yuck.
It's like a water, you know, like those really, have you ever been on one of those really steep water slides?
Yeah.
Where it kind of shoots you down just like a flume or whatever? There's always like a little bit of like, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Like a
breach?
Breach, yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit of breach.
Yeah. And that's what it's like going through the warp hole sometimes, too.
It's not pleasant. You got to do it. You got to do it fully nude. It's not pleasant. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I could see how this might be nice if I were in a different frame of mind.
Jack says you got to do it fully nude. And what he means is even like sometimes the warp hole just gets you.
Yeah.
You can be in like the middle of doing something like washing dishes and the warp hole just get you. But you come out fully nude.
You come out fully nude. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't see any of that stuff ever again.
Yeah.
It's complex, unpleasant. The mythology. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It hurts. Yeah.
I think we've maybe fully diverged from the Sliders universe and the Quantum Leap universe. It's really just the warp hole universe. It's our own. We've made it our own here, which is nuts.
You've caught me. You're lucky to catch me, I should say.
Yeah.
Right smack between two vacations. Just got back from Mystic. Headed tonight out to Newport.
Wow.
Rhode Island. So
lovely.
You got me for the moment. You warp told me away. I was in the middle of packing, but here I am warp holed to you. It's what, 1990? Well, where are we? We're at the tail end of a week, right? But we're not settling in for Frasier, which is what I would love to be doing.
No, we're talking about just the 10 of us. We just watched it. It's bedtime, basically. We just kind of watched it. We were both kind of maybe drifting off to sleep a little bit. It was past our bedtimes. Our parents said we were
playing Game Boy
for just the 10 of us. And, you know,
I had it on. I was playing
Game
Boy.
I'll take it. It's not
my parents were watching it.
Yeah.
I was playing Game Boy.
Yeah. That's where we are, and it's 1990.
Oh, boy. Maybe you've caught me in a paradox, is what you're saying?
Well, how so?
When did the Nintendo
Game Boy. I think
come
90.
Out.
I think you're fine.
April 21st, 1989.
Yeah, so it's brand new. I guess you're an early adopter of the Game Boy.
Oh, I always have. I have always been an early adopter.
All they have is that one Mario game.
That's a great game.
Yeah, fucking rules.
The golden coins one?
No.
Or that's Wario?
No,
yeah, Mario.
It's like way
Mario Land.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Zelda 2.
It's 1990. We're here. We've warpholed to 1990, and it's just the 10 of us. It's our favorite show. See, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. I just watched Full House. I mean, the me from 2023.
You're warpholing back quickly?
Where you caught me, I'm not between vacations. I don't take vacations. I am a man who just watched Full House. And then I suddenly got warpholed here, but to talk about just the 10 of us.
You're such a noob to warpholing, and it shows in your like total lack of discipline. You're just like constantly like warpholing back to like watch Full House in whatever timeline we're currently in.
Yeah.
You know, like that's taking years off of your life.
Yeah.
One warpole is like smoking an entire pack of cigarettes, entire carton of cigarettes.
That's what they say. Yeah. It's just the 10 of us. It sucks shit.
It's so bad. God, we're being tested this week, and I can't say more without breaching the warpole itself, you know?
They're testing us, yeah.
But I'm just being tested this week.
It sucks balls. They added a daughter this week.
They added like four daughters.
Their
faces are just so garbled.
But this week...
It's like Scanner Darkly.
I really clocked it, because this week they have the religious daughter says some shit. Then they have the Stacy, who's like the main daughter this week.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
I actually love her.
She's kind of fun. She's growing on me. Then there's the smart daughter.
I think I like her because she is just Stacy.
The smart daughter is also the sporty daughter. We've already kind of dealt with that, and that's actually been true for a few episodes. But they added a fourth daughter this week who doesn't do anything or doesn't have anything.
No.
And a fifth
no.
daughter. There's the little girl.
There's the
too.
Little girl, yeah.
That's the fifth, but
there's
fourth
another
daughter.
Like teenage daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always adding them.
Yeah.
They're always it's like title, you know.
Yeah. It's extremely.
It's like a title pool. Like sometimes there's a lot of daughters, sometimes there's just a couple. It's dark. It's dark-sided. It's bad. It's not funny, and it sucks to watch. God bless you, Fry Baby Corinne. But
yeah,
it sucks.
Really putting us through our paces this week.
We just got to watch Seinfeld last week.
Yeah, I know. It's a
God, I just want to warpole back.
Dramatic fall from grace.
Hashtag warpole me back.
Yeah. Hashtag warpole me out of here. That's the t-shirt. We should say what happened, and then I'll sing about it. I like to say give people a little taste of what I'm going to sing about. I know you don't like to do that, but I like to do that. I like to kind of
make it come across in the
set
in the lyrics, you know? And I like to sing with the clarity and confidence of voice that people can understand my lyrics and understand the plot of the episode.
Well, I like to do both. We're just going to say, so this week, it's a Boy Scout trip.
Well, it's like smash cut.
Smash cut.
Like, oops, like we accidentally put this scene that's supposed to happen, like, in three scenes from now at the beginning. And for some reason, like Coach Lubbock is here, even though like later on, he's not involved with the camping trip in any way.
Yeah, that's true. But he's on a camping trip with the Boy Scouts. I guess maybe he's a chaperone.
Let's talk about.
Okay, perfect.
Poison Ivy. I guess it's Kinetichek.
Yes. Let's talk about Poison Ivy. Let's talk about it.
Kinetichek is my segment about
what's going on in Connecticut.
Sort of the, yeah.
And the, is the Connecticut...
minutia of Connecticut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Connecticut is sort of a state where poison ivy is...
rampant.
Sort of like made its home, you know?
Yeah, I think you have it on your house, right?
We have it on our house, and we had a man come. Yeah. And he showed me like the mother root.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary and pretty alien, and it's got little like fingers all over it because it wants to grab on.
Connecticut's version of the supervillain Poison Ivy.
He is sort of like
an old guy from down the road.
He's like Connecticut's version of like Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, cool.
Like he showed up in like a Bowie hat with like a knife, and he was you call that Poison Ivy?
Okay, really? So pretty literally, Crocodile Dundee. Maybe it was Paul Hogan.
I think he passed.
Okay.
I think if you get Poison Ivy on you, and this guy really warned me, he like had a big pile of it on the ground, and I gave it like a wide berth, and he's like, whoa! Get away from that!
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, man, like, I am miles away from it.
And I know
I'm
how
good.
Scared you are of men who come to your house. So that must have been pretty traumatic.
You're telling me, bud.
Yeah.
And I had to ask him to move his truck. I went outside to ask him to move his truck so I could get my Nissan Leaf by.
That's like your personal nightmare. Oh, sorry, I have to get my electric car out of the garage. Is there any way you could move your man's truck from my driveway?
Anyway, he told me not to step in it because he was like, poison ivy, it sucks. Like,
yeah.
Like sometimes I end up in the hospital because it gets so bad. Mm-hmm. Happened to my dad.
Happened to Sarah.
This is dad talk.
Okay, yeah, this is a different kind of dad talk where we talk about our dad.
My dad like went weeding in his lawn once, not realizing he was pulling up poison ivy, and then had to like go to the hospital because he had like whatever the equivalent of like second degree burns are for poison ivy itching.
That's why I never do any yard work.
I hire a man to do it. Yeah. And you know how uncomfortable that makes
me. I know. Yeah. It's a high threshold. So what did he do? Got rid of it?
He got rid of it. I don't know. Okay. He dealt with it. But anyway, the thing is, if you touch poison ivy, it immediately affects you. And in the show, and here's where the Kinetic Check comes in, and that was a segment within a segment.
You reeled me in. I was really trying to describe the episode, but you fully reeled me into your poison ivy lore.
There's a whole thing where Coach Lubbock in the cold open is like out in the nature. They pack way too much and way too many jokes into this cold open. It's like dense. Like so much happens.
And it's one a whole setup for the entire episode too. Yeah.
And one of the things that happens is Coach Lubbock goes into the woods and poops and wipes with leaves and is told like, oh, you're supposed to bury everything in leaves. Not wipe with them.
What are you doing?
Giving something back to nature.
Don't you want this?
But Fred said that nature scouts use leaves.
Well, sure, to bury the toilet paper.
And then like a week later, his son comes home and he's like, oh, by the way, you wiped with poison ivy.
And that's when he realizes.
Honey, what does your scout book say about poison ivy?
Don't wipe with it.
Does scout book have any good news?
Yeah. Mom's just lucky it's not a snake bite.
Yeah, and that's when he's like debilitated.
But they don't even like do anything with it.
Butt
it's just
itch.
Like a butt gag. And then there's no, it's not like, we're not like dealing with that. Because most
well,
of
whatever.
The episode is Wendy.
It had to be dealt with for me personally. Because it's something that is a source of trauma for me lately.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm knowledgeable about now. Something I look out for. It's just what they tell you. Those three little leaves.
Those three little leaves. It's like the three seashells in Demolition Man, but bad.
three?
I want... Oh, is it five? Here's what I want from you. I want to describe the episode, then I want to describe the episode in song. Then
perfect.
I think we might have just enough time to do a JTTOU RPG.
Yep, great.
Yeah. But first, I want to say... So the poison ivy is a red herring. The real plot is that while on this camping trip, there's a very sensible and prudent scout. Do you want to hear if I remember my scout law? A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. That's pretty good off the dome. But this kid
scout is patient.
No.
Scout is kind.
Kind, yeah.
Scout does not envy.
Though a scout looks through a glass darkly, a scout puts away childish things when he becomes an eagle. Listen, there's a scout, and he's all 12 of the things. He's very good at scouting. But
like Captain Planet.
The 12 things are the things that I said: trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient,
like
cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and
did you say beer was one of them?
Forget it. Just let me get through one sentence about this boy. He's good at being a scout. And also, Coach Lubbock on that same
trip. He's not
trip,
a boy. He's like a...
He's a man.
He's a young adult. Yeah, he's like 16.
Yeah. On that same trip, Coach Lubbock catches Wendy smooching some tough in the woods.
Yeah, some meathead. His some name's meathead. Like Pickle or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Lubbock and his wife decide that she's super grounded, but more than grounded, she actually needs, they need to find like a very good, nice boy. She has to date a nice boy for once in her fucking life.
A nature scout! I'm supposed to go with a singing nature scout!
I'm honored. What my daughter means is that she very much looks forward to going out with you on this date. Right, Wendy?
Yeah, I've always wanted to date a man with a neckerchief.
It's like, some kind of, well, I guess it's not that surprising. They like live in a religious family and teach a religious school, but they impose some kind of like religious like order will over her.
Yeah, that she
where
has to
like,
do it.
Now you have to date a boy that yeah. we say you that we pick yeah. for you.
And they pick the scout, and he is a super fucking nerd, and he takes her to clog
dancing.
Oh,
he's great. He takes her on like the coolest night in the world. He takes her clog dancing.
It's fun and excellent cardiovascular exercise.
So your idea of fun is to sit here and watch this?
Oh, heck no. We're gonna join in.
Oh, me and these darn heels.
Well, that's no problem. Women 7.5 C!
Then they like go look at the stars.
They go like stargazing.
Do you see that one to the north between Andromeda and Cepheus? Well, that's Cassiopeia. And over there. Wendy?
Oh, Fred, I thought you brought me up here to look at the stars.
Well, yeah, but you can't see past the branches from over there.
Exactly.
She tries to make out with him. These two toughs called Bruno and Toad are like, hey, let's blow this pop stand. And then he like karate chops the shit out of them. And he's like,
yeah,
good at karate.
Taekwondo.
Evening, gentlemen.
Eat a bug, twerp.
Bruno, what are you doing here?
You know these fellows?
Hey, Toad thought he saw you from the highway.
Yeah, I thought I saw you from the highway.
Bruno, this is Fred.
Yeah, anyways, listen, Toad and I are on our way to a party. What do you say you, you lose the worm and come along?
Ooh, a party?
Excuse me, Bruno, but the lady is with me. Please step aside.
What? You gonna, like, kick in my shins and go run?
And then yeah. she does fall in love with him on the, like, 8-mile walk back to their
They're
house.
Together now.
Yeah.
And now they're together. At the end of the episode, yeah. they're together.
They're
in love.
She, like, cleans up her act for him.
Wait, what are you doing? I thought you were going to sneak out for a date.
Well, I am. Looking like that? What's wrong with the way I'm dressed? You look like a decent young lady.
No, she doesn't. She looks like she's about to do yard work.
Hey, I think this outfit is perfect for seeing Cassiopeia. Cassiopeia? She's dating a Greek.
When did that happen to Stacy? Did Stacy at some point... I mean, not Stacy.
Wendy?
No, Sweet Valley High.
Girl one and girl two, right? We did like 11 episodes. Surely Elizabeth and other one.
The other one, Jessica. Did Jessica ever have a moment of
nice guy,
like going for a nice guy and sort of like calming down? She must.
I don't
have,
think that's
right?
her thing. We need to
did
ask
Stacy?
Marissa. Stacy, no, yeah, Stacy had Ethan, who's like kind of arty dude. I'm
no,
intimidated by Ethan.
Ethan was like,
I found Ethan deeply intimidating because he's
yeah,
like,
he was like a New York guy. He was like into art.
Yeah,
that was
too much.
Like, yeah, that was there's a few dude like King sort of scared me too. I know King was with Lane, not with
yeah
Stacy.
King
like,
was
he
scary.
Had the same kind of energy.
And Brewdoggy was a nice guy, but like...
I love Brewdoggy.
I don't know. I'm not sure he would have given us the time of day. He was like captain of the basketball team.
Yeah, well, was.
Anyway, for folks who don't know, that it's the we're talking about the Babysitter's Club series of books just now. So sorry if anyone was lost in that. I'm ready to sing about this this book.
Yes, I would love to hear you sing about this book. Did we cover the entire plot? Well, I guess we're about to.
I'm going to. Yeah, then he does smooch her. He's like, now that you were like, see me on my level, like now that you're not just like seeing me as like man meat, like I will smooch you.
Some guys aren't what they seem at all.
Wendy.
All right, you two, break it up. You've got a lot of nerve keeping my daughter out 3 hours past her curfew and then mauling her on my doorstep.
But sir,
inside, young lady. You are a big disappointment, nature boy. From now on, Wendy is off limits. Go earn your merit badge with somebody else's daughter.
And then Lubbock opens the door and he's like, you're fucked. And then she does get grounded and she like dresses in like nice demure clothes in order to see him. And hopefully we'll see more of this guy.
Yeah, I love him.
He was cool.
Hate the show. Just have a really bad energy around the whole show. So when I say something like I love him, I just mean like, you know, he was an awful character.
Yeah, terrible.
Completely one-dimensional.
Yeah. But silly. Better than almost anyone else on the show. Let's go. Let's go, me. Go, Jack. Mom Spaghetti a little
bit
for this one. I want you to mute. The song starts immediately. It's hard. I'm going to do my best. Pray for me. You're not muted. I need you muted. I can't hear that. I can't be hearing that when I'm doing this. Are you muted?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Go, 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 go. Go, Wendy. It's a Friday. We gon' party with some sobriety. I know karate, that is surprising. And you know I will get you home when it is timely. You can find me with the Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. You can find me with the Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. Campfire for my lunch on a trip with Coach Love. When he goes out to pee, sees his daughter with a schlub. They get home, there's hell to pay, gotta show a tough love. Now they need to find a man that the 10 of them can trust. Wendy don't want to change, she's born sleazy. Looks like Browning ain't enough, this won't be easy. When they see I'm a scout, I know I follow an honorable code. I'm prepared to be good, I always do what I'm told. So we're going on a date, and I'm high on the hog. You like me now, you like me more when we dance with some clogs. But now we're here and she's showing me too much devotion. I don't think they have a merit badge for getting a blowjob. Time to blow this pop stand, let's go back in my car. I know a place we can go to identify stars. When it's got a hand on my thigh, her lips on my ear, but all I wanted to do was show a Cassie up here. Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. You can find me with the Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. Oh no, there go Bruno and Toad. They want to give my date a kiss. This is not in my Boy Scout oath, but I need to introduce them to my fist. He's in a headlock, Bruno is chasing. Merit badge in karate and kung fu wasn't wasted. So I took her back home on an 8-mile hike, talking about the scout law, about love, about life. She tied a knot in my heart, it's a 2-half hitch. When we get to the porch, she's gonna kiss me on my lips. Then a dad comes out and he looks annoyed. Thought I was a Boy Scout, but I'm just a boy. Now she's sneaking out on Fridays and she has switched the style up. She looking tasteful like a lady, gets a scout riled up. And I'm looking fine too with my uniform scrub. Come on, you know where we'll be. You can find me with the Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. You can find me with the Cubs, checking out a bug. Got a kerchief on my neck if you into eating grubs. Got a pinewood to be set, I ain't into making love. So let's go find a slug, identify a shrub. Ha ha! Don't try to act like you don't know I'm gonna make eagle. Tying knots all the time, so pop off. Fred did it. Ha ha. And then Fitty.
Who's Fred?
Fred is the scout.
Oh.
Fitty says G unit.
Just Goonit?
He says G. Well, he says Goonit. I only saw it written. Maybe he says Goonit.
Yeah.
This song does keep going for ages, but not with any singing. Biddy was like, all right, I only have about 2 minutes of this, and then we'll just let the... It is a dope beat.
How so long
we'll
just... the radio said it had to be?
Yeah.
3 minutes? All right.
Yeah.
I guess just let it run. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Really, what a talent you are to do that in the amount of time that I know you did it in, which was quite a short amount of time.
I started picking away at it a couple days ago, I'll be honest. But okay. It's our first rap. I guess
I take everything back. You
Rage Against the Machine. And, you know, it's a new era. Now we have to do increasingly more complicated, fast rap songs.
Not me.
Until we get tired of songs.
Not me next week.
Give up on it.
Not me when we Warpole to next week in 30 minutes. Warpole me out of here. Hashtag Warpole me out of here.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. That's the whole movie.
God, that's really
do you
stick.
Want to do some quick burns and then try to create a Just the Ten of Us RPG?
B unit. That'd be a cool thing to start saying.
Not
that's
really.
What they always said.
Yeah.
B unit.
B unit. Yeah. It would be cool to say if you were a B.
I just mean for the burns.
Yeah, okay.
It's like the burn unit, you know?
Yeah, kind of. Burn unit is here.
Let me see if I even have one. I didn't even open up my freaking notes. Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
4 minute and 54 second mark. Sports daughter says... sorry. The...
Nerdy daughter.
Nerdy daughter.
Who is also sports daughter, so you were right.
Also sports daughter. Yeah. And that's not who I even meant. Jessica Wakefield and one of the other, like, three daughters are talking about, like, whatever. The boys. God, doesn't matter. The sporty daughter is woken up.
Yeah.
And she says...
You have your idiotic conversation someplace else so we can get our beauty sleep.
And... Jessica Wakefield, whose real name is Wendy, turned to her and said,
"The night's not long enough."
Good. Yeah, very strong.
Yep.
I captured that burn as well. I also captured another burn, and this burn is on Wendy.
Wendy.
Who I have in my notes as Stacy. So just pretty confusing.
And this is one of the side effects of warpoling, I think. This, like, dissonance.
We're mad at just the 10 of us because they gave two different traits to one daughter, that she's into sports and also, like, smart. And in fairness, like, we only think she's into sports because in the first ever episode, she was shooting hoops with her dad, and it's never come up again.
Yeah, I guess not. Maybe she's just the smart daughter.
And yet, meanwhile, we call this one daughter Stacy, Jessica, and Wendy at all times. So anyway, but that's it. Now you know. Stacy, Jessica, or Wendy, same person. Here's my burn. Stacy, it's at the 5-minute mark. Stacy is mad that they are setting her up with this Boy Scout, and she says,
"You're not going to believe this. This is the worst thing you've ever heard. Mom and Dad are giving me away to a goon."
And then religious daughter says,
"What are we getting in return?"
That's funny.
That's 50 cents thing. Goon it.
Goon it. Listen, here's what I'm thinking. This is a line in the film. It's at the 3-minute mark. It's when they've decided that instead of grounding her, they're going to make her date a Boy Scout, which I'm not even sure if that's a legal parenting thing you can do. Where it's like,
well, we saw it happen already while war polling.
Yeah.
This is actually like an event we've observed while war polling.
Yeah.
Because we saw Carl Winslow once try to set up Steve Urkel with his daughter, Laura Winslow. Do you remember that? It was sort of a big, like, confusing mismatch, like, comedy of errors.
Yeah.
Like, four boys showed up at once. But one of them was like,
we have
Carl asked a boy out on behalf of his daughter.
I want to argue that it's a category different to be like, your punishment is that you, have to date a Boy Scout. You must date a Boy Scout.
Yeah, that would suck.
Anyway, backfires. That seems a little pretty weird. Pretty bad, Coach Lubbock. So, yeah, but at the 3-minute mark, they're explaining their reasoning, and they say,
"We are tired of you going out with bikers, hoods, con men, truant thieves, and other assorted scum."
And she responds,
"Hey, I have never, ever dated a truant."
Funny joke.
What is a truant? Someone who, like, jaywalks?
Well, I don't know. I thought we could kind of flesh all this stuff out in our RPG.
Oh, perfect. Do you remember that NES game Gauntlet?
Yeah, fuck yeah, of course.
It's a little like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's the four sort of, like, classes, and each one, like, brings something to the table, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can manage to get four friends together to bring all of them into a dungeon, the Nintendo does not have the computing power to, like, generate skeleton sprites fast enough if me and three of my friends are in there.
So maybe our RPG is that we're trying to date Stacy. And you can choose to be either a biker, con man, a thief, or a hood. You can't be a truant because she's currently dating a truant.
Is this sort of, what's the setting? Is this high fantasy? Is this like...
I think Bone Lord stuff, so it's probably
gothic,
like, kind of
fantasy.
Horror, like gothic fantasy, or like maybe like Silent Hill type shit.
So maybe we say that we don't just want to say we're dating like our goal. I don't think it would be...
appropriate to be like,
I don't think it would be appropriate to say that our objective for this
try to date a 16-year-old
is to date a 16-year-old girl. So what if we just say that our, like, band of scoundrels are trying to steal
the Lubbock,
like,
daughter.
Gem heart
of
the, like, Lubbock kingdom, right?
Perfect. Okay, so we've got King Lubbock.
Yeah.
King Lubbock lives in his, like, weird fantasy castle populated by bone creatures, the bone army.
Bone boys. Because, like, at one point, his wife even asks, like, "Don't you know, like, a ton of boys?"
Come on, Elizabeth, think. Who can we get to go out on a date with Wendy?
You coach boys? I mean, isn't there one boy in all St. Augie's you can trust with Wendy?
Nope.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I guess, but I wouldn't want any of
I wouldn't
those
want
boys,
anything
like, going
daughter.
Out
yeah.
with my daughter." So,
so
those are,
the
like, his bone boys.
Here's what I'm thinking. And this is spoilers for Castlevania, so block your ears if you haven't beaten that yet. But you know how at the end of first one, at the end, like, you fight Dracula, and then you think that it's over, but, like, he turns into this, like, weird monster that you have to fight that instead, and that's the real last boss.
My final form. Yeah.
I think that's it. So if you beat King Lubbock in our RPG, then it's Bone Lord time.
Yeah, he sheds his, like, his decadent flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so you can be either, if you're stealing the gem of, what is it? The gem of the shining gem of Lubbock Kingdom.
Yeah. It's called the Heart of the Lubbock Kingdom.
You can choose to be either a biker, a hood, a con man, or a thief.
I feel like I understand biker in the context of, well, just a warp hole. God, this sucks. just a warp hole to me now, Tanner, or at least
that's gave me the shivers. Tanner. Yeah, yeah.
I know what a biker is, yeah. But like in the terms of like the sort of gothic fantasy, what is a biker? I guess I didn't need to warp hole to now to know what a biker is.
No, that seems like an error now. A biker, yeah, we're not going to have a bike.
I mean, we can. It's just going to, maybe it's a piker, you know, like he's like a guy with like a pike.
We could do that, or we could kind of steampunk it up and they have a penny farthing.
Ooh, that is good. Ooh, it could be like Van Helsing where it's like.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
It's like the first bicycle. Yeah, he's got like, Sean Connery comes out as like a wise old man and he's like, I'd like to like show you my latest invention. It's it's called the bicycle.
That's pretty good. Like, and so that guy's probably,
oh, can I make some modifications? You know,
pretty
and then
fast.
It like blasts out of the garage and it's like a vampire hunter velocipede.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, and he's got a blunderbuss.
Yeah. Oh.
This is good. This is better than the show.
I want to be that class.
Yeah, okay, fine. And maybe we'll just have three classes. A biker, a con man, and a thief. Does that seem reasonable? Or do you want to keep it analogous with gauntlets?
I'd like a hood.
We can have a hood. Okay, so
a
hood.
I feel like a hood is nice. It's sort of like, I'm imagining sort of a big, tough oaf. He's got one of those weird little clubs that's like a platypus tail that they used to have in like old comics. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I like it.
And like a...
Maybe it's a hood and there's no face. Kind of like head.
It's pretty scary. Like a Jawa?
Yeah, like a Jawa. That's what I'm thinking. It's a it's like a large
They're
Jawa.
Like Jawas. Ooh, maybe I want to be that. Can they... do they speak droidish?
They speak whatever the... What did the
like
Jawa
technic
say?
Technic or whatever?
Wootini. They do
I think
say
that's
that.
Actually Huttese.
Okay, that's Huttese.
I don't know. Sorry, I'm not a Jawa expert, and I do not come at me with this. If you know, if like I'm saying anything out of,
I'm
line.
Enough of a Jawa expert to know that they do say Wootini.
Yeah, maybe that's. I think that's maybe even the Wookiees you're thinking of.
No, it's 100% what they say.
Oh, you're right. It's the
first show up to sell the like fucked up.
All right,
toy.
Fine, yeah. fine. Here I go.
Yeah, and
Jawas.
Then. So we've
wait.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, we got to get
what
this right. We only have about 1 minute left to be
do
fair, but
Jawas
we do need to
speak Jawis.
Jawis, and is that what they're speaking when they say Wootini, or are they speaking like some common speech?
Jawis. Ooh, this is troubling. Jawis was the native language of the Jawa species from Tatooine. It was mainly composed of meaningless syllables supported by phoneme. Produced sense, which allowed it to be understood. Okay. Jawa communication was based in these sense to such a high degree that the scent a Jawa gave could tell others about that.
I feel
Jawa's
like you're leading me to some terrible Jawa tragedy. Is it
mood.
Possible just that it was like a
that's
long
the
time
full
ago
that's it
in a galaxy far, far away? So it's in the past.
Oh, it could possibly be that. Yeah, I don't know.
I was waiting for like the fucking Jawa apocalypse.
I was waiting for it too, but then that's where it's that's it.
Okay, good. Well, and then we have thieves, and a thief is a thief. It's actually a lot like in Castlevania 3 that one of the guys is a thief. He's really small. He has a dagger, and I think he can like. I don't know. He can like turn invisible or something. And people are going to be really surprised like in the 90s when that's the JTTOU game that we release.
Oh, yeah.
But fine. Better than the show.
Better than the show. Yeah. And I'm now trying to think how we pack all that Van Helsing stuff into like a Nintendo game. That's a lot to get across.
Yeah.
Maybe we do like a cartoon and a game and like a toy line. That
sure,
was a kind of a thing to do back in the 90s.
Yeah, I would honestly, I would wear a King Lubbock shirt.
Yeah.
100%.
I would wear a shirt depicting King Lubbock.
Fighting a Jawa.
Rending his flesh prison off.
Yeah.
To reveal the Bone Lord within. But I obviously have like concerns about like graven images of the Bone Lord.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Maybe it's a good place. Should we say it's a good place to start?
Show can, sucks. There's yeah, just sucks nothing ass. To talk about. Like, what? Like, I'm so glad to be back in Full House land next week. You know, yeah. just back in my comfort zone. What a weird yeah. show this is.
It's
I can't believe it lasts so
one.
Long.
I know. Why do they keep doing it?
It was the first time that the USA interstitial.
Yeah.
Was that one woman who used to say USA? All night. Do you remember that?
She's mad, she's sexy. Meet Phoenix the Warrior in USA up all night, Friday at 11.
She said that this time?
Like a thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's lovely.
It's like nostalgia.
Well, can we do USA up all night when, next time we.
Ooh, let's.
Warpole?
Quickly. Very quickly.
We got a Warpole for Seinfeld now. So maybe we can just Warpole into whatever the third slot of Up All Night is. Won't it, that bite us in the ass if it's more just the 10 of us, just like on a different timeline?
Here we go. So here's the challenge of USA Up All Night, and I'm up for this if you are.
Yeah.
The program consisted primarily of low-budget films, okay. bookended by in-studio or on-location comedy skits featuring the show's hosts.
Okay.
So... like these
We'd
are
have
movies.
To find the movies. Yeah, I guess I'm up for it. If it's only once every Seinfeld.
Yeah, it'd be once every Seinfeld cycle.
Yeah. yeah. Well, we'll look into it, folks. We'll look into it.
We're gonna have to start keeping a calendar of these Warpoles because they're getting.
It's pretty complex. I have it in my head now, but if we do one more standard deviation off of it, I will lose like contact with what the fuck it is that
yeah,
we're doing.
Me too.
We have to go. We're trying to keep it high and tight. You and I are going to Warpole back into our lives and then immediately back into Full House in terms of what our recording schedule is right now.
Warpoling to 5 minutes from now or Warpoling to 1 week from now.
Yes. Yes. In the same timeline. Do you want to just go straight to that rather than going back to, 2023 and then coming back again so we skip a Warpole? It'll be easier on the body.
I should
like
go
smoking half a carton of cigarettes.
I should go bathroom though. Okay. And like grab a seltzer.
All right. Okay, fine.
We'll and I that. Like don't want to do that. I don't
in the 90s.
I have been warned from doing any of those kind of things in this timeline because it may affect things back in 2023.
Yeah. You have to bury it under like poison ivy.
We've got a lot of it here.
Okay, good. Let's go. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I would like to thank the Fry Baby so very much for bearing with us, especially through these difficult times.
Rhonda Shear.
Have to watch just the 10 of us. We do love and kiss you. I don't know what that is, Tanner, but I'm
that's the woman
it's
who said
important.
USA up all night.
Okay, perfect. And I would like to say this week we watched a film. The film we watched was, of course, called Just the 10 of Us. The episode was entitled Perfect Date. I'm not sure we said that. Next week, we're going to be warpoling to familiar territory. It's our old friends at Full House with an episode called Lust in the Dust.
Ooh. Mm. Sounds like a banger. It was. We already watched it.
Yeah. Also sounds like some Dracula shit, doesn't it?
Lust in the Dust?
Well, you dust them. Vampires, like, turn into dust.
Oh, yeah. And then you're having sex in it? Ugh. That's morbid.
I would think so, yeah.
You're yucky.
Okay. Well, maybe not. Well, that's what we're watching next week. In the meantime, I would like to tell you that this week... my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And it's still Friday.
Look out Friday night. Come down to the show. Here we go. Full House family smiles. It's just the two of us, but I want it my way. We'll be here all night. Could be. We'll be here for a year, strangers to our lives. How did it come to this? Oh man, oh God, it's Friday.
Be very